رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Last time, sorry, Monday 29th May 2000. Last time we finished with Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 124, if I'm not mistaken, which talked about Nabi Ibrahim being appointed as an imam. قَالَ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِيَ ظَالِمًا. We finished there. And during the course of our discussion, we said we would like to discuss about that and what happens after that, totally from the perspective of the Holy Quran. What does the Quran talk about death and after that? So today, we will start with death. It may go on for two or three sessions, because death is not only just the process of death. It goes on to after death in Barzakh and then up to the Day of Judgment. And mind you, I will along the way talk about ahadith that mention so many things that are going to happen during and after that. But this will be just in passing. Our main concentration will be on the concepts that have been introduced, the fundamental issues that have to be believed in and understood. Right? What our belief is regarding death, why death, what happens during death, what is the philosophy behind death, and so on. Right? So, whilst we will talk about what actually happens, but that is secondary. The primary thing is, what does the Quran say about death? What is the aim of death? Right? What is going to happen after that, and so on. You will find the Quran talking very, very little about Barzakh. Okay, what is going to happen in the grave? There is so little mentioned, right? Unbelievably. Because it is mostly expounded by ahadith. Right? So we will not dwell into what is going to happen inside the grave, apart from mentioning the verses that the Quran has mentioned, and so on, right? More interestingly, you will find that when it comes to description of the Day of Judgment, the Quran is very clear about that. Up to the food that people will eat, people in Jannah and people in Jahannam will eat, is mentioned in the Quran. So you can imagine the contrast of what is going to take place in the grave and so on. Now, the first verse, every time I talk about a verse, please try and open the Quran so that we understand the whole verse properly. The first verse we want to look at is Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2. Anybody? Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2. Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيَّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Surah Al-Mulk is 29th Sipah, first Surah. This explains the aim of creating death. Although it mentions death and life together, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He created death and life to test you, who is the best of you performing deeds, right? Or which of you performs the best deeds, right? This is the bottom line. But interestingly, why did Allah use maut first when hayat comes first? In His creation, life comes first. Yet He says, هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة. The reason why maut is mentioned first is that this life is of secondary importance in Allah's creation. Primary importance is the life that takes place after death. And therefore, when we look at our life, even before we are born, Allah has already destined for us a time. We are only given that much of life. And that is just part of our whole aim of creation. Allah created us not for this world. Right? So He mentions maut first, giving it that significance, that that is more important than life. That is the aim of our life. The aim of our life is to die and go into that transition, that phase, which is after death. Right? And that is why He mentions death first. That the way He is going to test us is not only during our life where He will put us to tests, no. He is going to put us to test during this life, this world, but what we are going to see, the results, the fruits of our efforts are going to be seen after death. And therefore that is more important. That is more important than this life here. That is why the word maut comes before hayat. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Right. Now, if you go to Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which is Surah number
56,
after Ar-Rahman, verse number 61. Verse number 61. No, it starts from 59, sorry. 60. نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتَ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ وَنُنْشِئَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُولَىٰ فَلَوْ لَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. I need somebody to read the English translation because I'm interested in knowing what English translation has عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ.
Towards changing your forms and raising you in that, you know.
Sorry?
Not.
Towards?
Towards our, to our changing your forms.
Your forms?
Yeah.
Is that what all the translations have?
Yeah.
Any translation that has a bit different?
In the margin it says, or substituting others like you unto your place.
Or.
It says in brackets, in the margin.
You see, this is the second aim of creating death. The first one we saw, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Right? That was Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2. This one is Surah Al-Waqi'ah, verse number 60-61, where Allah is saying that we have destined death. نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. And there is no precedent to what we have done. بِمَسْبُوقِينَ, at least nobody has done this before us. Right?
You will not be frustrated.
And
we are not going to be frustrated.
Frustrated?
We will not. Frustrated in any sense would mean. That is what it means.
Sabaq amati shaykh. You know what is sabaq?
Agar.
Masbuq. Ele amarati agar koi wait shaykh. Wama nahnu bi masbuqin ele amarati agar koi awit na clear na tigir. Right? This is what. It literally means, وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُقِينَ. That means there is no precedent in such creation. Of course, in all Allah's creation, there is no prostitute. But what it means is that we have destined that for you. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُقِينَ. And nobody, like you say, probably it gives the same meaning. Okay, nobody can overtake us.
Yes,
or defer that from them.
Prevented, it says.
Prevent.
Yeah.
More like, you know, the
frustrated here means you can't prevent us.
You can't stop it.
You can't stop it.
Right?
Just, no, I don't know if you're coming to this, but the same surah, verse 87, is a very powerful challenge Allah gives.
Verse?
87. When he starts with 81, but 87 he's saying by the soul, he goes, if you believe, if you want to deny it, put the soul back if you can when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one we'll come to that later. We're still talking about that. We'll talk about ruh and the coming out and all that, yeah? عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. You see, أَمْثَال is the plural, and this is important, understanding the Arabic origin. أَمْثَال is the plural of two Arabic words, مِثْل and مَثَل. There is a difference between مِثْل, that is ميم كسرة فَي سَاكِن نِلَا مِثْل, and مَثَل, and that is ميم فَتْحَ فَي فَتْحَ نِلَا. Right? What is the difference? Mithil, etle I and you are the same mithil of a species. That means of insan. But I am different from you. Right? So I can say, anta mithli insan. You are like me, a human being. But when I say mathal, that means we all are human beings, and when Allah says He wants to replace human beings, He will bring all together another species. And this is where many Mufassirin have somehow, according to Ayatollah Tabatabai, somehow misunderstood that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created, we have destined death amongst you, right, so that we change your likes. Ala an nubaddila, we replace your likes. An nubaddila amthalakum, right? It does not mean that He will do away or annihilate human beings totally and come up with a different species of creations. No. All it means is that I will go and another human being like me will come in my place. That is the wisdom of death. That in this world, if death was not created, can you imagine from the time Hazrat Adam was created up to today, would this earth be able to take everybody in now? This earth would not be able to bear. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death to have that continuity of generation after generation, that human beings could live as a society. Right? And I'm sure you remember that story where death is a blessing, or Pani Biwano, where death was taken. There are two incidents mentioned in history. One was during the time of a prophet who was approached by his people and said, this death is an affliction on us. Pray to your Lord to remove death from us. And he raised his hands. And Allah said, fine, you want to see life without death? And he lifted death off them. Four generations, five generations later, they said, please, tell Allah to reimpose death on us. Because now, you see what happened, grandfather, great-grandfather, grandfather, father, and everybody, all one big family, was becoming intolerant. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, that ala an nubaddila amthalakum, that means human beings like you will take over from you. You will go away in this world, and others will come replacing you. وَنُنْشِئَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And you will be transferred to a world which you don't understand, which you don't know about. Right? That's death. That is actually, right, for interest purposes, if you think about how would you define death in one or two words, right? You have different definitions. Definitions like death is end of this life, right? Death is an end to, as Imam Ali al-Islam in his Nahj al-Balagha khutbah describing that has described it as so many different things. Hadimul Ladat. Hadimul Ladat means it breaks all our desires, all our wishes. It is the one thing that puts a cut to it. Finished. No more. You cannot wish, you cannot look forward to anything.
Pleasures.
Hadimul Ladat. Yeah, it can mean pleasures as well. Ladat. Hadim al-Latur, right? The Quran refers to it in three different ways. The Quran talks about maut, it talks about wafat, and I'm sure you know the word wafat. And today we'll look at the meaning of the word wafat, what does it mean? And it talks about liqa, right? Liqa is meeting, right? Meeting, maru. So these three words are used to describe death. Maut as in death. Wafat as in death as well. But what it actually means, we'll look at what it means. And liqa, which means meeting your Lord. Any questions before I go on?
Does it also, isn't there a place, lots of places where it's referred to as yaqeen?
Sorry?
As getting yaqeen.
Hatta ataka al-yaqeen.
Isn't that the common idiom for death in the Quran? Hatta
ataka al-yaqeen. Quran mache, hadith mache. Ataka al-yaqeen. Yaqeen is a different...
Does it refer to death?
It is describing death. You see, death is... Hatta ataka al-yaqeen, which means certainty comes to you. Certainty not as in conviction of what you believe in. Certainty as in that certainty which there is no escape from.
Right?
It's another name of death, yeah?
Can you look at the next ayat and just following that, translate that?
I know what you're talking about.
No, just the next one.
لَقَدْ سُوْ
وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ نَشَأَةَ الْأُولَى نَشَأَةَ الْأُولَى
وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ نَشَأَةَ الْأُولَى
وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ نَشَأَةَ الْأُولَى What is that?
أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ
Because Allah is saying, to explain that, He's saying, look at the first verse. But what does that mean?
What do you think it talks about?
Well, the first growth. This is the first life we've ever had.
Sorry?
This life. So it's got to be something to do with this life. We haven't had anything before.
Huh?
This is the first life we've had.
You talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's not the first one.
It is.
No.
Yes. Allah says that He's giving us two lives and two deaths.
Right.
The first death is the one we're going to have. And then after Barzakh is the next death.
What about Alam Azhar?
And the first birth is the one we've had, and the next one will be on the day of Qiyamah. Well, one...
Go on. The next verse. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشَأَةَ الْأُولَى فَلَوْ لَا تَذَكَّرُونَ No. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشَأَةَ الْأُولَى He's talking of people before us. People who died before us. So don't you remember that? That people were there before you and have left.
Yeah, the translation is very bad. Huh?
What is the translation?
And indeed know ye the first growth. Why then you reflect not? And what's that supposed to mean?
No. To refer to نَشْأَة, just refer to the word before it. ثُمَّ تُنْشَأُ نُبَدِّلَ أَمْثَالَكُمْ وَنُنْشِئَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ Right? So we... نُنْشِئَكُمْ is translating as establish you?
Creating you again.
Raising you.
Raise you again. فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ Amachane, the نشأة الأولى is referred to two things. First of all, is referred to the controversial... The Alam-e-Dhar that we were talking about. Okay? That was the first creation in which all human beings were created. But more so, it is referring to the child, to that stage of childhood before birth. That was Anasha, in the womb. Right? And that was a phase before coming to this earth. There was food in there, there was life in there, in the womb, right? That is why the word that Allah uses, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ, right? alimtum is a word you know. Then he says, afala tadhakkarun, don't you recall that? Right? Don't you apply that? Don't you remember that? Yeah? But pehla je chhe ne, it is not like immediately Allah takes you to reminding about what took place, because not everybody remembers. Allah says, laqad alimtum, you know what happened.
Now, our form changed.
The form changed, the world, the dimensions changed.
And it's the same way the form
changed. Same
change
way, you
the
will be, exactly, you will be transformed into a world that you cannot comprehend. Just the way, out of the womb, into this world, those changes were so major that in the womb nobody could comprehend. Nobody could ever imagine, okay, you, this would be the world. To that person, to that child in the womb is the world. Right? Similarly, that transformation is going to take place. So Nashatul Ula, according to Ayatullah Al-Tabai, is that stage. It's referring to that stage. You know now. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ. Now you know what took place in that first phase. Right? So don't you understand that similar things can happen after life. Once you die, you will be transformed into yet another stage, yet another phase, which will be very different from what this.
But we know a little bit about that, don't we?
Which one?
Next.
Well, we can't comprehend. The problem is, Allah is trying to draw parallels between the shift of phase. Okay, ek phase mati amanikre, which insha, that is establishing us or recreating us in differently, totally different atmosphere environment, different dimensions, different things. Right? Evidently, we will go into another world. Right? Which will be again very different from this world. We know that from a hadith, just the way we know that from science. Okay, what happened there? But we don't remember. Nobody can remember what took place in the womb. But we know exactly what happens to a child in the womb. Right? And that is why Allah says, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ. Now you know what is going to take place. What took place there? فِي النَّشَةِ الْأُولَى. أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you now understand and remember, carry all what you say, so it can happen again. Right? And that, I think, to me, it made more sense. Okay, that death is explained, shift of phase, different things. Right? We go back to the earth, but that does not mean end of life. Now you understand the verse?
63
and 64
actually cover that as well.
Sorry? 63 and 64
explain about the womb, I think.
63 and 64 is talking of plants.
Plants. It's plants because it says if we wanted to, we could destroy the plants.
أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ.
We would crumble it to dry straw.
Right. Any questions before I go on?
I think the main problem with death is that people see it as all the last chances are gone now.
As what?
As if your chances for any sort of recovery or reprieve or change your rectify your errors finished. You see, that's why people are.
It has finished.
That is what everybody is afraid of. Eh?
The reason why people are afraid of death are many. This is one. Right, okay, where all doors are closed. Okay, how you can't correct, you can't go back and mend your ways. Right? Not only that, if you look at the people who have written about death, the scholars, they have given one is the fear of punishment. That means we know exactly where we stand. Mm. Right? We know how sinful we are. And the more we talk of death, the more frightened we get. Like, we know, okay, once we die, that is one. Secondly, like you say, okay, there is no way back to amend things. Thirdly, the mystery surrounding it. Kaipan, you know, you will be apprehensive about anything that is new to you. You don't know. So it is apprehension more than fear. Ajay, you see, Imam Nijare hadith hoy, if only you knew what lies there after death for you, you would have welcomed death with both hands. If only you knew. Which is true. कि आपने खबर ना थी. एंड इट इज दैट फियर, द फियर ऑफ द अननोन, दैट इज मेकिंग अ स्केल ऑफ दैट विच कैन थिंग. आई मीन आई अंडरस्टैंड द वे आई बिलीव इज दैट इफ वी आर ऑन द राइट पाथ ने वी नो दैट ओके वी आर सिंफुल, अगर तो कोई शक नहीं, बट वी ट्राइंग टू मेक द बेस्ट ऑफ लाइफ, यू नो ट्राइंग टू ओबे अल्लाह टू द बेस्ट ऑफ अवर पॉसिबिलिटीज, देन वट रिमेन्स देयर टू फियर ऑफ डेथ. सोच आइदर पीपल वोट आर स्केर्ड टू डाई बिकॉज दे आर टू मच अटैच टू वॉट दे हैव ऑन दिस अर्थ. Be it in the form of wealth or family or friends or properties or whatever it is. But once you get attached to anything on this earth, then separation from it, right, being taken away from it permanently, is something that you would be reluctant to do. So there are so many things.
I think the most common one is the first one, is fear of the
punishment. Okay, see, what I found is I've talked to a lot of people, you know, told people I believe are atheists. And they come, you know, especially in the 80s and, you know, and all that. And you say to them, yeah, I found that when I talk to them about, you know, you say to them, I'll see you in 2 years. They'll say, oh, I'll probably be dead by then. And they laugh at all. You know, and I talk to one or two of them, I say, you know, you seem to be very dismissive of death. They say, yeah, I've had a full life, and that's, it's time to go. There is no fear, as if...
Who are you talking about?
Atheists and Christians, you know.
No, hey, let's forget those people.
You know, I mean, like, the classic context is in patients. You know, you tell a patient, I'll see you in 2 years.
Yeah, they always say,
I probably won't be here, and they laugh it off. They're not scared about it.
They're not scared.
I find that very strange, you know, I mean, that they can just say that to you. And I said to them, you know, what do you think death is? Oh, I think death is peace, you know, it's the end of all worries.
This is a classic case in point, where you get a shock, because we're all expecting bad news.
You have to stand in the queue for 20,000 years.
I think that is the main word.
Further
question.
Until the day of judgment, at that time, koi saru kaam kiro dunya ma, bachi eno ajar ne to the budget mai ke non bhi main det ne.
You are running before we have even started crawling. Please. We are still talking about that.
I think what is the point? We're running away before you started crawling.
I mean, we will come to Barzakh, we will come to after Barzakh, we will come to
Barzakh.
Okay. Barzakh ne aussi, ayat also. We'll talk about verses. The Quran does. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. You know, there are verses that even talk of punishment and reward in the grave. But we will discuss that. Let's establish that, how death takes place, and then we go on to Barzakh. Jesus.
Death and life is explained like a baby in the womb and coming into this world. But nobody knew what was happening in the womb until science came. So are you trying to say that during the Quran was revealed, people knew?
No, they didn't know what the exact mechanics was. No. They did know that a totally different form, there was a totally different form with different realities and different boundaries, and then there was a different form.
All right.
We can appreciate the change.
That is more important. We are not talking of full details.
All right.
What we are talking of, the change.
All right.
Right?
As they used to take words and...
Mana pet mati jino, mano pet aku dunia tu, ee bachi ho nikri ne aap ki dunia ni dunia thi.
All right.
So that change, similarly, the change that is going to take place is very different. Right? From what we are expecting.
All right. Give you the whole process of... Of this in the womb.
The Quran does. Right, now I go on to the next stage. And the next stage is that how does death take place? And who is the judge? There are four verses that we would like to refer to. The first verse is Surat Sajda.
sorry, Mr. Atul, you were saying that some Tamatabai has discussed why people fear death generally?
No, no. Uh-huh. I'm talking of the books. Tasliyatul Fuad, Ayatullah Shubbarni. And this book, Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi, Limanaz al-Akhir. If you look at any author writing about that, they will first have a preamble on why people fear death. That's general. I mean, there is no hadith there. A famous hadith that comes to mind, where not only the Holy Prophet, but many Imams answered in the same way, right? Where people asked, why do people fear death? And the answer is quite consistent. The answer is, لأنكم خربتم الآخرة وعمرتم الدنيا. Because you have built on this world and forgotten to build for the hereafter. Right. So that is for those people who understand, who believe. Like you say, fear, punishment was the case. خربتم الآخرة. Right. That is the one answer that I remember from Ahadith. How can you answer the Hadith? Right, Surat Sajda. Surat Sajda is 21st Sipara. Surah number 32. Surah number 32, right? Verse number 11. Right, this is how Allah, and mind you, this is one verse, looking at four different verses to establish how Allah, how can I say, how Allah kills a person? Allah does not kill a person. How Allah takes away the soul of a person. Fine. The first verse is Sajda 11, which says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. Right? So who creates death? Who makes you die? مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. Right? So this is first verse. Just remember this. Either make a note of it somewhere. Just remember this. Because I mean, char verse jana chahiye, and you will see that there is a difference. The next verse is An'am 61, Surah Al-An'am, which is number
661.
Are you there? 661. Surah Al-An'am 661, which says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا. So when somebody's time to die comes, what happens? His soul is taken away by our messengers. Okay, notice the difference. That one was Malakul Maut, the angel of death. This one is Rusuluna, by angels. Doesn't make a difference because Nahl, Surah An-Nahl 28 talks of angels. الَّذِي تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Surah An-Nahl 28. Surah An-Nahl, كلام سورة 16. In number
27.
Nahl 16, 28. Right? تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. There it was Rusuluna, and this was Malaika. An'am 61 and Nahl 28 mean the same thing. Rusuluna as in messengers, who are the angels, نتتوافاهم الملائكة. These are angels. So the first verse that we saw, Sajda 11, was talking of Malakul Maut, that is one angel. These two verses are talking of angels as in plural, right? And the last one that we see is Zumr 42. And this is the one that we shall dwell on.
So 39.
Zumr
39.
39. The word Yatawafa is used everywhere. All of them.
Huh?
All of them, the word used is Yatawafa.
Yes, yes.
And Wafat, that word.
Wafat, that is Wafat. That is the one now we'll explain.
All four of these words
have all used four of these have used Wafat. So that means the actual dying process is called as Wafat. Now why in Ibadi of Namukarush? This is the verse that we shall dwell on.
Are they referring to different sorts of people?
None.
They're referring to people.
It's referring to the concept of death.
But when it says, because it says the angel of death will take your soul, of course you should die, then it says our messenger.
That's why
they're talking to different type of people.
No. Like I'm going to explain what it means. The reason why I have put these four verses together is that now we will look at the concept studying in light of these four verses. Right? ચાર આયતો ને સાથે મદદ રાખીને પહેલું કે મલિકુલ મોત બીજા બે મલાઈકા ને આ ચોથું વિચ સેઝ અલ્લાહ યતવફ્ફલ અન્ફુસ રાઈટ નાઉ ઇટ સેઝ અલ્લાહ હીન મૌતિહા વલ્લતી લમ તમુત ફી મનામિહા ફયુમસિકુ લ્લતી ક્વા અલૈહા અલ મૌત વયુરસિલુ અલ ઉખરા ઇલા અજલ મુસમ્મ ઇન ફી ઝાલિકા લ આયાતિન લિ કૌમિ યતફક્કરૂન.
Mautiha, isn't it supposed to be referring to singular feminine? No.
Huh?
The te there, the ha. The ha doesn't refer to singular.
The ha
feminine.
Refers to what?
Soul.
Yes.
But isn't it singular feminine?
No. Singular feminine, you
when Anfus is plural, sir.
Ah, to ha, you see, ha, anything plural in Arabic, anything plural in Arabic becomes singular feminine, eh? Ja'at Rusuluna. Rusul is plural. Right? Plural, the moment Arabic name, the plural becomes feminine singular. In pronouns, huh?
So Anfus, you don't say Mautihima.
Mautihim. Himanata, Hima elebeja.
Huma.
Huh? Mautihum.
Mautiha, eh?
Right. Away. One or two things. Kalato, the difference between Allah, Malikul Maut. This verse establishes it is Allah who creates death. But Allah yatawaffal anfus. You have now Allah, you have Malikul Maut, and you have angels in four different verses that we have seen. Right? Ayatollah Matabai gives a very good example. He says, when you say, I am writing something. Right? Who is writing? Is it me? Is it the hand? Or is it the pen? Right? The pen is doing the writing, yet I say I am writing. The hand is controlling the pen, yet I say I am writing. So when I say I am writing, or I say the hand is writing, or I say the pen is writing, is there a difference? It simply means that the pen is controlled by the hand, which is controlled by me. Similarly, he says that it is angels who go out taking souls. But these angels are all under the control of Malikul Maut, who will not give commands except when Allah has commanded him. Simple. So once when Allah says it is He, and once when He says it is Malikul Maut, and once when He says it is angels, what he means is that is the system in which he has created the process of death. Okay, death is taken, that soul is taken by angels who are under the leadership of Malikul Maut, who follows commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So we may never see Malikul Maut. Yes. I mean, it's only the
we may not see the Malikul Maut. We can see a Malikul Maut.
It is assistant, so whatever.
Amazing.
Malikul
Maut
Malikul Maut himself. Not Malikul Maut himself. Malikul Maut does. No, never name. He does. A leader, our angels were not such a leader, એટલે બેઠો ને પછી રિમોટ કંટ્રોલ કરે કે
લીડર
પાસે જાય નહીં.
I heard that there are some that Allah takes, which hadith mashe, some Allah takes their soul, the awliya and the anbiya themselves, but Allah takes the soul.
Allah takes the soul himself. Allah yatawaffa al-anfus. Allah decides. Allah yatawaffa al-anfus. Allah decides. Ah, malikul maut bija pa saja se iya di
smachit. Yeah, because he knocked at the door. When
he had a fight with Nabi Musa.
He's dead, Sahih Bukhari.
Sahih Bukhari, Nabi Musa knocked out his eye. Nabi Musa didn't expect it. He thought he'd come for a social visit. When he told him, I've come to take care of this, he got so enraged, he hit him. He knocked out his eye, and the angel went to complain, Ya Allah, you knocked my eye out.
Sahih Bukhari. Sahih Bukhari. Sahih Bukhari, Sahih
Bukhari. All in his prime time, probably special.
Once that concept is understood, the next concept is wafat. I said earlier, we understand what is wafat. Right? And if you look at the verb, tawaffa is from the word wafa. Wafa etle. How do I translate this?
Loyal.
Huh?
Loyal.
Wafa with a hamza. Actually, waw fe alif maqsura. You know what alif maqsura is? Yeah. And nafs. Try and understand this, please. Can I just have 1 minute of your undivided attention so that you can understand the concept? A nafs chane khuda ne mana chhe. Right? Every night that we go to sleep, this nafs rises out from the body. It is the nafs that goes out, not the ruh. Right. The nafs that goes out, not the ruh. Now try and understand. I had in the shade, okay, nafs goes out. The ruh is in the body. The ruh is the mechanism that gives life to the body, because you can see the body breathing. Right? But the nafs that is supposed to understand what is going on around, that is supposed to determine what is right and what is wrong, it goes out. Now it comes under the control of Allah directly every night. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to withhold it back, that means I am taking it back now. Wafat, the word wafat comes from that. Tawaffa is that he is now taking back what is his. To us it is an amanat. And when he takes it back, he is actually taking back what is his. And that is why the word he uses is yatawaffa. Now I am calling back what I have given. And by calling back, by withholding the nafs, if you look at this verse, this Zumr, you find, okay, every nafs that rises above, that ascends during our sleep, whatever Allah decides to hold back, He calls on the ruh to come and follow it. And so the person dies. And those who Allah has decided, ki hai time nahi thiyo, there's still time to live, sends back the nafs, that go back and join the ruh. So, from the ruh and the body, the combination has formed one separate entity called the nafs, that governs the position of the ruh and the body. Right? It governs whether the ruh will overpower the body or not. And that nafs is the deciding factor in our life. That is why you have nafsul ammara, nafsul mutmainna, because that is the one that will govern and dictate our life, day-to-day life. So, a nafs ne bula ile, when Allah takes it back, that is wafat. Tawaffal
anfus. Conscience, yeah?
Conscience, that's the translation of nafs.
Then what exactly is ruh? My spirit, what does that mean?
It's the thing that animates man, so that makes him able to live. that is removed, man is a bunch
of animals have ruh, but they didn't have nafs.
No.
But animated.
Animals have ruh, not that. But not ruh as in ruh, we understand.
No.
Animals have life.
They have life.
So when you say ruh animates, then animals have
ruh? No, I mean animates in a sense that...
What am I? Am I the ruh, am I the nafs, or am I the body? I'm not the body. So that's the question.
The question is mind, right? Mind is nafs.
Mind is, huh? Abhe last time kera tha, su kera tha, yaad chha tamne?
Abhe manas be pati consist hai chhe, the thing,
the spirit.
The spirit.
Right.
And you watch manji nafsi upani chhe abhe star of kencha chhe.
See, the mixture of nafs, of thin and ruh, right? That mixture has created this third entity, nafs, which is the power given to us, the faculty. You can translate it as mind also, I don't know. Mind is not intellect, mind is not
separate.
Up.
It's clearly separate. Because mind it goes and the ruh doesn't. So it's a separate thing.
Yeah. That's what this verse clarifies.
You see, a mind is that harnesses intellect, if it wants to. Your mind is what makes you do what you do, whether you do the right thing or the wrong thing. You could use your intellect and do the right thing, or you could use your desire and do the wrong thing, but that's your mind that governs that,
so that
thing that makes
that
you
move. That is the nafs. Your conscious channel. The nafs that become nafsul ammara, nafsul mutmainna, nafsul lawama, right? These are the three stages. So it is probably the mind that you're talking of when we talk of nafs. But it is that entity in our body that harnesses, that governs the spirit and the body. The clip. Okay, which one overpowers the other and therefore will dictate the way forward in life?
Explain what it was, but you have, it's like it changes as you move on from stage to stage. So before you came into this life, your room was different, but it always accompanies the nafs, and the nafs is the actual you that you talk about. When you say me, it's the nafs that's you, and the intellect is like the deciding. Where's the intelligence part?
The apple is what you could reason with.
Yeah.
But it's not you.
I
think that is very close to what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the unique.
The ruh, you can explain what happened.
Ruh is
you or I.
You see, the only question that would be from what Abbas described it as, it is the thing that animates us, is that whether animals have ruh or not. And that is an ongoing discussion among scholars as well. Al-Hayawan, alaykum salam.
For
death, the nafs and the ruh have to die.
Right.
Nindar niyandar, in sleep, it is the nafs that goes out. You've heard the hadith that whatever you see in your dream is what your nafs is experiencing. Right? And it is this nafs that controls whether you are on the right path, whether you're doing the right thing. It pricks your conscience, do this, don't do this. It is the nafs. The spirit is clean.
Nafsi
wa ma sawaha. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَى. The nafs knows our rights and our wrongs. According to the Quran.
When you have an out-of-body experience.
It is the nafs that is going out. If you have not died.
Who is still there?
If you have not died.
Actually, this was described nicely. You know, sometimes I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me for sure, is you wake up falling. You ever experience that? You wake up but you're falling and then you fall. So that's the nafs actually, because you have been woken up a little bit quicker, that means you feel like you're falling.
Well, you're not balanced. Yeah.
Actually feel falling.
Sometimes you jerk something. The nafs is not something.
You know what, Mustafa, Arif said something very interesting. In the tafsir of this verse, he said, Zumar, that the fact that your nafs was in proximity of divine for the night means that you will find you are most active spiritually in first thing in the morning. And that is why that is the best time to recite Quran and to think about the important things. You will find that if you can actually wake up, you will be most alert and most receptive to the Quran in the morning. And that is why it is sunnah to recite in the morning, because of that proximity to the divine that you had at night.
Some people say you just have a good night's rest in your
It makes
fashion.
A lot of sense.
He said that in his last lecture, and no, I really thought that Ari.
It makes a lot of sense.
But also that you've had a good night's sleep and you're relaxed. No, I can work better in the morning.
It's okay. Because
you're right. Yeah. Physically, your efficiency is higher than much. After sleep.
So in the morning, he said that it's the best time to contemplate on the Quran and on spiritual matters. And you'll find your heart more receptive at that time because of the very recently you have been in proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when I put you the India chance, what about people on shift work who sleep in the afternoon? I didn't say anything at that time. I thought that was a good question. But I think it makes a lot of sense.
You see, I know some of these are, I would call people who, you see, what happens? The efficiency and productivity of a person's mind is sharpest when you wake up from sleep. So whatever activity you undertake at that time is going to be best performed once you do it after you've rested for a long time. But it is, this is also applicable. I'm not saying it is not right, yeah? Right. Now the question comes on ajal. Because if you look at this verse, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. So during that, the nafs is taken away by Allah, and during sleep of a person who is not dead yet. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتُ وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Now, one who is dead, his nafs is maintained by Allah. You're not going back. Right? As for the other one who has yet to live until a predestined time, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. يُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Now the word is أجل. Is that predestined? Is it fixed or not?
Shaykhar also has one of his talks, he talked about Allah having predestined. And one, the actual destiny that is going to happen, he knows about. But there's another destiny where, for example, I'm going to go on a plane tonight, and my mom prays for me that, you know, for the safety. Keep him safe. So when I go, I miss the plane and the plane crashes. So that was a decree for me which changed because of the dua. I didn't understand that very well.
You didn't understand it?
No, it is true. Like you
what is the point of having a first decree?
Because that is then the man acts. There are many hadiths on that.
He says that sometimes we know it, but other times we don't. You can change your appointed.
We have discussed this. What he was saying
is, it's in Shabbat. Lasting is for long life.
Yeah. But yeah, we discussed certain actions like sadaqah.
True. So that is when we know our decree. For example, if I know that I'm going to live till 60, and then I pray for a longer life, he changes it to 70. That's when I know.
You're never going to know when you're going to die.
No. That's an example I'm saying. If I know.
Allah knows.
There's no such example. No one knows.
Okay,
Allah knows.
There's one example here with Hazrat Isa.
Yes, the one about Hazrat Isa and the man. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is
the snake in the bed.
Yeah.
Like that one. But that's when
Hazrat Isa knew the decree of Allah. Allah had told him.
Yeah. No, no. What happened was when he was marrying the two people, the couple came to him and said, "Marry us." And Hazrat Isa was marrying them, but he was a little bit disappointed. Somebody asked him, "Why were you Jumtumar face putting you to the IKK?" As I was marrying them, I could see the angel of death standing behind the man. And he was going to take his soul tonight.
The point I'm saying is that
bride,
the decree at that time was known.
Yeah.
That's why there's a significance of having the other decree, where you can reflect and say, okay, this was decreed and it was changed to this. But he says there's two decrees for everything. So I don't know what time I'm going to die, but if I pray this now, and he does extend it, then there's a second decree. He extended from the
I think it makes perfect sense. The first one is in the ilm of Allah, so he knows the absolute, what the bottom line is going to be anyway. Yeah. That's his knowledge. And the second one is on man's actions. So man is encouraged to, not for example, break
also
off with relations.
It's
like
a
hope.
But you break off with relations and you reduce your life. But
look at verse number, Surah number 6, verse number 2. Okay. هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون. أنتم تمترون مثل translation.
Even though you
doubt. Right. You will see there are two ajals mentioned here. One is qada ajalan wa ajalun musamma. That means one is ajalun, what the Arabic in Arabic terms is known ajalun muqda. Muqda illi qada ta yush. Right? It's predestined. Wa ajalun musamma. The actual date is within, right? So you have two. One is the one that is predestined, and one is the one that actually takes place. Do you understand the difference between the two? One has been predestined, and one is the actual that takes place. By Allah mentioning both in one verse shows that these two are different.
Is it for everybody?
Everybody. Look at it from the negative point, from the other way. If I commit suicide, right? How do I? Is that predestined?
If I don't drink, I will die.
It is not the case. Khudana ilm is different. That is different. That is musamma. The actual death will take place according to what Allah knows. Allah knows. Wa ajalun musamma andahu. What is going to happen, He knows. Okay. He has predestined the date. What we do by committing suicide is that we bring that date forward and take our lives, our own selves. Now when we do that, we are sinful. Because we have now taken on us to take our life, which is not ours. Right? Now if you start looking from understanding these two different ajals, in that point first, so that you can understand. Okay, look, by committing a suicide, a person actually is bringing his life short immediately. He is taking on himself or herself the death, ajal. Right? That means there is a possibility of moving around that ajal. It may be by suicide, by one's own actions. Right? It may be involuntarily by one's own actions. Right? Kadi fast chalao maro anko accident thai, mari jao keno anse. Maro anse. It may be by the action of another person. I am caught in a burglary, for example. Right? Armed raid. Demonstration thai chene, police shoot kare ne ek bullet mane stray bullet lagi yu. A keno anse. Somebody's deed. Somebody's action. But I happen to be at the wrong time, at the wrong place, at the wrong time.
That might be the predestined death. But that actual
astral
bullet might be the predestined time of death.
It might not. It is ajalun musamma. It is not ajalun muqda. You see, you got to understand the difference between the two. Ajalun musamma is the actual death taking place with the knowledge of Allah. Allah knows. Because Allah knows everything that is going to take place. Aaj koi abgat karan hoy toh Allah ne khabar.
So, Mr. Bracket said that ajalun muqda is normal life. Say
normal.
For every human being, it could be like
60 years. For example.
So everybody is given the 60 years destined.
It is not the same for him.
No, but suppose it is destined the 60 years, and then various sorts of actions, either
various
his own
actions.
Or other.
It may be physical. It may be spiritual. Physical, as in one's own diet, may be responsible for bringing down the lifespan. Right. Spiritual, I mean actions like sadqah, actions like silatul rahm, which has been mentioned in the hadith as increasing the span of life and decreasing. Silatul rahm, which means maintaining relations with your relatives, has been mentioned in the hadith specifically. Okay, it can take your increase your life from 3 years to 30 years. Now when you cut off your relations with relatives, it may reduce your life from 30 years to 3 years. Right? These are specific numbers that have been mentioned in the hadith. So it may be spiritual, or it may be physical. like the way you eat, the way you drink, the company you keep, the way you work, everything.
Give a the hadith about one of the stories about Muawiyah the second. He was told to poison Yazid.
Muawiyah the second was told to poison his
Yazid. Yazid, yeah, and he did. And he was told for doing this, the Allah who gave Azab Aweshi is he who commits patricide. His life is curtailed, he can even so. Naimarigyo within 4 months of Yazid.
6 months of
Yazid. I don't know, am I checking it? But am I hadith check? If Peygamberi Kidu check, who murders his father or commits like that, so for him his life is curtailed.
Yeah. So, how is much better? Ajalun Musamma is the actual death that takes place, which is in the knowledge of Allah. Wa ajalun Musamma indahu, that does not mean that he has the actual date of death. Does not mean that he is controlling it or he has destined it. It just means that he knows.
But it can be increased as well. As you're saying about the bride story.
But that is muqda.
Ah, that bride will. Allah didn't take there's a book, Journey to Heaven. It's a red book taken out by Saud Jamaat. In that book it says the bride her soul was going to be taken away that night. But she gave a meal to a poor person and the life was increased.
This is the Prophet Isa's story that you're
talking about. In the book, Journey
to Heaven. Now, just take that incident for example, right?
Yeah.
That means that Allah had destined that bride to die that night. Barabash? Right?
It there was a snake in the bed, wasn't
there?
There was a snake in the bed.
Yeah.
But ajalun musamma, which is the actual date of death, is something that Allah knows. Allah has predestined that, but because of that action it moved forward. Right? He knows, he even knew that although I have destined that death, he is not going to die then. Or she is not going to die because of the bride. Yeah? She's not going to die then because of that action. But that action actually put forward the life. Ajalun Musamma is the actual date or time of death that he knows. And the who does not mean that he has fixed it. He had destined the time of death. Depending on your actions, you will bring it forward or take it backwards. You will die. Most certainly at a time you will die. Right?
He knows.
Of course he knows everything. Then can't he fix the date?
No, but the whole point is that you have the knowledge that you can change it. If you know it's fixed, then whatever you do will not change it.
It's a bit like your physical dimension, you know, you can go on and die and change the way you look. That's the same way Allah is saying you, by certain actions you can change your life.
Span of your life.
Your gene, yeah,
right,
exactly. Your gene that told you this is how big you're going to be. When did you change that?
Before
you're a fat person.
Before you're created, my friend. To take your life out is not allowed at any.
Hang on. It is if you're trying to save somebody's life, for example, in a war.
That is, you're giving your life. You're sacrificing your life.
Not taking yourself.
You have two options. Either you continue under torture, living under torture, or take your life out.
In certain circumstances, you know, if you carry on under torture, they're going to find out information from you. Somebody else is going to die. Do you know what I'm saying? There are times when agents are given suicide pills.
Suicide bombers.
And they're saying, if your information is in the wrong hands, millions
could
die.
It all boils down to
the
that's a
simple.
It's the niyat.
Is the niyat hoy tomashi, that is the it becomes sacrifice, right?
It doesn't remain as suicide.
Do you have certainty that this is information will not be done?
You see, we tend to hide behind the fact ki ala kilot. Right? Ki ala kilot.
Yeah,
I remember there is not here Mujtaba's father when he died, of whom Azkar by Iran. When he died in Iran, I don't know if you remember how he died and when he died. 1990, I think, December. He died in Iran. Now, when he died in Iran, he died after having stayed in the hospital for 6 or 7 days. He came back home, and then he suddenly felt uneasy, and he went back to the hospital, and they found that his blood pressure was something like 220 to 230. It was very high, and they were surprised he was still alive. By the time they you know, gave him medication or anything, he passed away. Now the question his sons asked me, I remember very clearly the first time they met me here. They said, hypothetically, if our father was here in this country, right, could his life have been saved? Can we think along those terms? The question was, can we think along those terms? Or are we to think, it was predestined, death was fixed, the marana jata, but it's yao, yao, yao. How do you answer such a question? Now what do you think, after understanding this, Ajahn?
Well, if you're going to say if, there should be a rip, if it's never
the possibility is there. No, but that's simple, bottomline, the possibility is there.
But that's a too open question. If you start saying one if, but where are you going to go?
The whole thing was, the question was, if think karani raja che ke nahi.
It boils down to this Iran question. It might boil down to the fact that if medical, here there was medical, I mean they're trying to compare the two medicines against each other. But suppose there was a case where somebody was ill in a way you could cure him, but you were in the middle of nowhere.
If he was in Bangalore.
Somebody was having an asthma attack and you were in the middle of nowhere, he died. Hey, obviously if he was in the city, you would have got him to hospital. So you can always say yes, he was in the wrong place.
Then you could argue that Allah made it that he was in.
You can save yourself, but you just happen to be a victim of circumstances and surroundings. There is nothing you can do. Death is going to come sooner or later. For some it so happens that they are around medicine, the doctors, they can prolong life. Fine. Prolong life. Right? For others, no. It makes me wonder sometimes. Ke koi manas marto hoy. Right. You know, we have been brought up, or rather we are living at an era. Ke koi manas marto hoy ne, to we will get all possible paramedics ne, attempts to try and revive him, to save him. Which is wajib to an extent. Ke wherever you can save a person, you must save a person. So all our attempts are to revive that person, to save life. But there should come a time when we should identify or discern ki bas hai aaj ne jivano nahi bachano nahi, right? And the last rites should take over. You know what I mean by last rites? I mean ki a dying person has to follow certain rites. Ki doctor ke kibla taraf rakhwano, دعاو چه پروانی حدیث ما چه دعاو پروانی اللهم اغفر كثير معصيك واقبل مني اليسير. That means that forgive the many sins that I have done and accept from me the very little that I have done, right? This is a very important dua that is to be recited when a person is dying. The hadith ma'ala al-sudhi che, if the person dying cannot recite, then when you are around there, make sure that you recite for him or her, right? Look, accept whatever little he or she has done and forgive the so many sins that he or she has done. Right? Now, when we are busy trying to revive and save the life of a person dying, right, until death has overtaken him or her, we cannot get those last rites done. Once we realize that this person is dead, it's too late. We can't get any of those rites in. Nothing. No Qibla, no Dua, no Qur'an, nothing, absolutely nothing. So where do we draw a line? This is something that we just got to think about. Okay, I have experienced this in the last 3 or 4 months, 2 or 3 times.
the decision cannot be yours, and medical, legal reasons would not stop you from making any such decisions, unless it was actually your own.
I know, this is the law of the land.
As a medic, you cannot say, I think I'll stop now.
Nobody stops you from turning your bed towards the land.
We have to understand in the same time, whilst simultaneously both things can be, the attempts to save his life can be going on. At the same time, the ones around him, whether they are his heirs or relatives or friends, have to realize, look, this person seriously could be dying. So let's start the last rites.
And it's not only the family. You tell a 90-year-old man who's dying in the hospital, now I want to do your last rites, they say, nurse, get him out of here. we have to change ourselves.
Life supporting machine where his brain is completely...
You can withdraw treatment.
So the plug only, then you can.
You can withdraw nourishment, but you cannot kill.
So withdrawing treatment would be just an instant death.
No, allowing him to carry on his own strength. I remember this was a case in our community was involved one person. I remember the question being asked to my father, and it was a case of life support machine, and it was a vegetable and all this, So what he said was, what you can do is allow him to breathe himself.
But the person cannot breathe himself.
Then he
they can for a short time. I mean, literally maybe 10-15 minutes.
But
can withdraw treatment, but you cannot administer like a lethal
injection.
Lethal injection.
In that case,
short treatment, you know he's going to breathe. He's not going to breathe straight away. Then
you can withdraw your interference if you like. You cannot kill directly. Indirectly, you have killed. A lot of doctors.
This is a cabbage. It's just running.
He's
branded. Asawal Chen is branded.
There's a difference in those cases. If you've got a case which is not giving you any signals from the brain,
how's the difference? Surya Yasin ke time pe rakhne hai nahi dane couple of years 10-15 years so
no but the point is we talk about cases where they are brain dead right those people are not going to revive no matter what we decide over them I think we have got to have that distinction
When the heart stops beating. What is that? Like a brain dead is as good as a person dead. Right? Whatever you do, the person will breathe, the person will live, but the person will never get back the use of his faculties, including his intelligence.
One can say the nafs is gone.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very, very delicate situation, and everybody has to make their own decisions. But ulama have allowed it. What the ulama have said is you cannot directly intervene and kill, but you can withdraw treatment or withhold treatment. And then every family makes its own decision. I think nobody can tell them what to do, really. Because, some people feel very strongly one way, and some people feel very strongly the other way.
Right. Any questions? That's someone for each? So you're all prepared for that now?
Kale petition was it. Kale petition was it. Kale
petition was it. Right. I'll just give you a
last right. Where there's a sudden death, this is where you are.
Sudden death, okay, yeah.
But that's very difficult because the person is trying to the sudden death. When you know a person is dying of cancer,
I'm talking of sudden.
He's a fit person. He's a fit person, and your first reaction is to save. You don't think of
the. No, Barabaji, your reaction is to save him. Whilst people are trying to save him, you have to wake up to reality. You know, this person might be going. There are indicators. Hajma, I would say, my satyalo, colonel of the colonel, Yaqub Sheikh, 70-year-old man. Fit, healthy, walking, Hajj for a year in Mina, after performing his tawaf and all that, and as he came back, in our accommodation, you were there. He was climbing the stairs, right? Second or third stair, Nepariya. Right? And he died there. But as he fell down, we had the good fortune that Dr. Mamdani was around. So Dr. Mamdani, with a few volunteers, rushed to his assistance before the ambulance came to him. Dr. Mamdani looked at him, being a medical person, looked at him and he told the volunteers, look, let's raise him and turn him towards Qibla. This man will not live. Our volunteers, Yata, they were ready to do that. In fact, they were just lifting him. Just as they were about to lift, the Arabs who were around that area, they came and actually hit our volunteers. They don't touch him. Because they were busy trying to save him. Jare alokachin and oparin, they were trying to turn him towards Qibla. By ajaiche, right? Let's turn him towards Qibla. But all our Arabs, ekrene, tranpere. Right. Three times these volunteers tried to raise him and move him towards Qibla, the least they could do. Right. And they were beaten off. I also want to, that is the kind of, whilst they were pumping the heart, and trying to, you know, open the button, the pani pirao ne koshi kata, the body ne Qibla taraf rakhile, the sufail parthe. Kai pena pata. But Dr. Mamdani was being realistic by saying, bhai, akara jase, ane asha nathi lagti, mane asha nathi lagti. We will try everything. Pump, Qibla taraf rakhile, what do you stand to lose?
Why are these Arabs like this?
I think you can appreciate. You see, this is a time when it's very different. It's very delicate. You cannot walk in there with masail. I mean, people will not appreciate you at that
time. Masail said them.
Now, if you tell them this, that look, we're trying to do this, they will not appreciate it. And they're saying, look, we're trying to save this person. It's a very charged atmosphere for you.
Anima Samba, you are sensitive in that sense. You are not ready to come to terms with reality. What I'm saying is, I'm a masail shedi. Kai wajibiti. Let's get that right. Let's get that straight right from her head. There it is not wajib. Right? Amma, we are trying to make it easier and better for the dying person. You understand what I'm saying? Right? By reciting these du'as or by making him face Qibla, all these things, Allah, Pani, Roon, Tipa, all these things are easier for the person dying. It's difficult for us to be watching a person dying, you know, jaichi nathi jato, you know, you are busy thinking about his life. What about his death? I mean, this easy for me to say as well, I must tell you, easy for me to say after the event has passed, when the actual crunch comes, whether, you know, mara upariti varengi, when I am in control, when I am in power, will I be able to do that or not, is another thing. It's just food for thought for all of us.
I think the question is that if you were in that situation, would you allow your family to turn you? Because you would have to face in your mind, now I'm going. We are not prepared to accept that ourselves.
Two vichaka. No.
No, if I was there, if I was in the bed,
yeah,
and I was thinking, now I'm going, and they said, let's turn you, I would be said, no, don't turn me, I'm going to be okay. You know, what I'm saying is,
okay,
this is
how you look at it. I'm not saying,
that's a wrong way of looking at it. True. What I'm saying is, we ourselves are not prepared to come to terms with ourselves.
I think it is... It is not that way. It is the people who are around who are not ready to come to terms. The person who is dying may not even be in a state fit enough to say what to do and what not to do. If only he could say, if he was dying, right? He would tell you to make sure that last rites are performed. He would like to make that phase as easy as possible on him.
Well, I mean, the person who normally dying knows that he's going to die, isn't he?
He's dying, yeah.
He can see
when he comes close.
Yeah.
Ya Hara Hamdan Mayamut Yarani.
But he can't say it.
So the person who is dying will have several indicators that he is dying. Not just one. Several.
Isn't it not recommended to sort of show him, okay, look, you're dying, but you know, okay, we're helping you go. No. If you've got someone like, you know, I mean, you come, you're with me and you're like, you know, like my brother and everything, and I'm like in real desperate straits, and you're saying, okay, boss, I'm shifting you towards Qibla, I wouldn't take that kindly. I'm thinking, you know,
Let me go.
You want me to go?
Let me go first. For example, in the akhlaqiyat of handling the dead person, two things are there. If you know, yeah. One of them is when you are taking the body, you stop it three times. It's an indication after death to show we are not too quick to get rid of you. We feel the sorrow. And immediate relatives should not throw the earth. Again, akhlaqiyat mati se wajib nahi. But to show, we don't want to let you go. We don't want to be. We don't want to be instrumental in sending you on your way.
Ama ekchi cheva. And this is where probably Safar is right. Our last rites of facing Qibla should be first the duty of the dying person.
Yeah.
Prabhashan.
Yeah.
Okay, when I am in hospital with, say, for example, cancer, God forbid, or any other disease that is fatal, yeah. Now I know these are my last. I would make sure I am facing Qibla. I should make sure.
We wrote that kasha recently from Madrasa to Northwick Park Hospital, class 10, who did death. We wrote about the several things that we want that are our rights at death. And we said to them that in your wards, which are your critical wards, you know, where you're treating ICU nail, emergency wards. ER rooms. We would like to come and show you the direction of Qibla. And given that Harrow has got a large number of ethnic Muslim population, would you turn the gurney towards Qibla at that time? And we will come and show you where it is. And also in the chapel, we will donate two musallas, chapel chain, North Ikwakna. So that we're waiting for an answer to that.
Jarothe. Actually, the police and the hospital.
Musalla. We said we'll donate two musallas and we'll show you the Qibla in all the.
So Qibla chain, ma North Ikwakna chapel ma khobar chhe ki kai direction ma Qibla chhe ki musalla ma compass chhe.
Room chhe.
Room chhe mane khobar chhe.
ત્યાં છે
ને એ લોકો
ડાયરેક્ટ પીપલ નો લખ્યું છે કે એરો છે કે છે પોલીગ્રાન ઓજો છે પાર્ટી બોલે છે કે ક્યાં પેલા નો સિક્કા પાસ
મકાન પર દસ વર્ષ પછી છે એરો જેવું છે છે ને યા બટ ધીસ વી હેવ રિટન ઇન એન્ડ વી સેડ ધેટ યુ નો બીકોઝ ધે માઈટ એગ્રી ટુ ધેટ તો યુ આર રાઈટ ઇટ ઇઝ ધ ડ્યુટી ઓફ અ ડાઈંગ પર્સન ફર્સ્ટ રાઈટ બટ હાઉ વોટ અબાઉટ અ પર્સન હુ ઇઝ ડાઈંગ એન્ડ ઇઝ નોટ ઇન ધ ટોમ ધેટ ઇઝ ધ ક્વેશ્ચન
I mean, I've heard this, I'm not sure whether how far it's true. He knows about 40 days before that he'll be dying soon. Is that true?
Not at all.
Some,
okay, those are awliya. Awliya Allah, by awliya, I don't mean just the prophet and the prophets and the imams, no. I mean awliya, amuk chosen.
My father remembers someone who went the night before to put up his everybody, ridiculous. Asked for forgiveness that night, he went home, he wake up in the morning.
Awliya, some don't know for sure. Some just have that kind of
although. But somewhere else, people around the house, not even when you are living, it's 1930s Italian project, Moru Glamour Sassuchan, a father. He put a room kind of spoke to Ilo Rasta the Masidma.
So many things, my friend. So many things. Recording stopped.
When my brother passed away about 6 years ago, he was in hospital for.